Version number 12499, Mr. E.C. Whitney, Reel 3.
Mr. Whitney, Reel 3. What, can you tell me about the building that you did, the rebuilding?
The Royal Engineers who were there made shapes the same as what they do making bricks. And everyone available was making these bricks so as to make some sort of buildings for the refugees and for the troops that back were at barracks. Martial law was declared. And the race course was used as a refugee camp.
How were the civilians behaving? Were they behaving in a distressed way?
They were, yes. It's strange but true that everyone expected terrible looting, but only three people were caught looting. And that was, they were caught going through some debris, seeing if they could find something of any value. That was the only ones that were pulled in by the police.
How were looters treated? How were looters treated?
Very well.
But they were punished?
Yes, they were punished, yes. By the civilian authorities.
How frightening had the earthquake been for you?
Well, the trembles carried on and off for days. And any buildings that were thought unsafe, they brought tractors in and pulled down what they could.
Had there been any damage to the Kandahar lines?
Yes. A lot of buildings were cracked and unsafe, so we were moved outside, and the weather was very good. We slept in the open for quite a while. But after a while, we made what they called one of the huts. The RE built the bricks so high and put bunks in, wooden bunks, for eight people, four double bunks for eight. And the roof was an ordinary tent top, which was brought down and stapled out, well, tied up outside. These were quite comfortable. And life went on as usual.
You moved from Quetta to Allahabad.
That's right.
When was that, do you remember? Was it long after the earthquake?
I can't remember the date.
Why were you moved?
That was our next posting.
What kind of duties did you have at Allahabad?
We had very nice barracks there. Training was very brisk there, round the Khyber Pass and everywhere around there, and long route marches and everything. And as usual, sport, there was no such thing as it's too hot for sport. Everyone had to be playing something from 5 o'clock onwards at night, and no one was excused. They had standard tests for everyone. 100 yards, 200 yards, 400, 440, 800, mile, everything. And points were awarded for the grade you got. If you did 100 yards in such and such a time, you got so many points for that, and so on, in all the sports. So, of course, everyone was dragged out there by the rest of the platoon, and then you carried on. And at the end of the sports season, a cup was awarded to the company or platoon with the most points. So everyone was out there to do their best. If not voluntary, they were dragged out there by the other people.
You said you went up to the frontier, to the Khyber Pass?
Round that way we went.
Did you go into action there at all?
No, none at all, no.
Did you see any civil disorders in India, at Allahabad or anywhere else?
The only ones in India was... we used to have exercises, but nothing acceptable. But we were prepared for it.
Did you see any riots or anything of that?
No.
Were you stationed anywhere else in India apart from Quetta and
No,
Allahabad?
I came home from there in 1939.
This was early 1939, before the war broke out.
I left 8th of February 1939 and had to report back to Stoughton Barracks on the 7th of August.
And you had some home leave?
Yes.
When you came back from leave... Mm-hmm. That was about the time war was declared?
That's right, yes. They were calling up reserves then. So instead of rejoining the 1st Battalion, which I would have done...
Were you a reservist by now?
No. Instead of going back to the 1st Battalion, which I would have done in ordinary times, I was kept at the depot and... for kitting up reservists and getting supplies and stuff in and kitting reservists up and all the conscripts.
What did you feel about the declaration of war? Were you dismayed or what?
Well, I think a year previous when I was in Allahabad, it was touch and go because chaps who were waiting to come home, they were dubious about whether they would go or not. And then Mr. Chamberlain told them that everything was all right, and so the troops were allowed to go home. But they were the people who I met up with again at Stoughton Barracks, who'd been called back again.
But how did you feel about the declaration of war?
Well... I didn't go much on it, but there you are. It was, we had to do it, and that was that.
What did you feel about the new chaps who were coming in at that time?
Very good.
Did you have any problems with them?
No, none at all, no.
And how long were you doing that job for, handling the new recruits?
Until ...1941.
Were you in any of the bombing during the Blitz at that time, 40-41?
No. Guildford was lucky.
Did any bombs fall on Guildford?
It would appear, it was, well, rumoured anyway, that the new cathedral that had been built at Guildford, the bombers used to come to there, and that was a direction mark for them. They used to get there and then fly over to Pompey and different places. But that's only a rumour.
Did any bombs actually fall on Guildford?
Not that I know of.
You said you did that job till 41. Yeah. What did you do then?
Went to the depot at Maidstone.
What for?
We were posted there because they were thinking of reorganising the depot, so we were posted there for a while.
How did you come to go to the Middle East in May 42?
From the depot at Maidstone, I went to, as I say, Oxted, the 1st 7th, with them, and carrying out various duties there, ammunition and everything else, and then we were ordered to the Middle East.
The 1st 7th was a territorial?
No, they were, well, they were extra, 1st 7th were a TA unit, yes. Prior to the war, from Bermondsey.
How did you get on with them?
Very well. Yes, very well.
Were they a different type of soldier?
They were very good, yes.
So you went, did you go out to the Middle East with the 1st 7th?
Yes. Until we went into, I forget the name of the place, the straightening out of the line before Alamein. And then...
How did you get out to the Middle East in May 42?
I forget the name of the boat now. We sailed from Greenwich.
Greenock?
Greenock, yes.
On the Clyde?
Yes. That was
in a convoy?
Yes. It was a Whitmundi.
Did you go around the South Africa or through the Mediterranean?
South Africa. Called in at Cape Town.
Did you come across the enemy on the way?
Well, there was always alarms and that, but...
Did you go ashore in South Africa?
The Cape Town, yes, yes.
How were you greeted there?
Very well.
In what way?
Everyone wanted to help you.
What would they do for you?
Anything. If they thought you wanted a drink and you couldn't afford it, they'd take you in there. Some even picked the troops up and took them home for a few hours.
Did that include you?
No.
Where did you sail to in Egypt? Where did you disembark?
Crumbs.
At Suez?
Suez, yes. I can't think of the name now.
And then did you go into a barracks?
A tentage.
In the canal zone?
Yes.
Were you part of a division?
Part of the 7th Armoured Div.
The Desert Rat?
Yeah. We did our training. Supposed to be lorry transport, using lorries and that. And went in, I forget the date anyway, the straighten out the line, which I think the first 6th lost quite a few, and then we were pulled back from there.
Whereabouts was it that you went into the line?
I can't think of the name of the place now. It was the one before Alamein.
Alam Halfa?
That's right, yes.
And how long was it between you landing in Egypt before you went into the line at Alam Halfa?
Oh, weeks.
So it was summer?
Yes.
How did you get up into the line?
Lorries.
What rank did you hold then?
Corporal.
Which company were you in?
B. Yes, it was B, yes.
And when you got to the front line, what did it look like?
Well, it was more... We went by lorries, and you get a start line, which the military police have laid down. And it was more like, well, watching a firework display more than anything else.
How do you mean?
Everything, you know, these rockets and that going up in the air, illuminating every movement. But we were there about 2 days, and then we came back. We were pulled back.
Were you actually fighting and firing?
No. The parts of it were. We just did reconnoitering around, but we on our sector was nothing. But I think it was the first 6th who had casualties, and some of them were taken prisoner of war.
What would you do when you were reconnoitering?
Going forward, see how far before you heard any noise or anything, because the eye ties, they talk so much, you could hear them a mile away. But we couldn't hear nothing.
What was the desert like in that area?
Well, the wind always seemed to come up mealtime. So when you got your ration, everything blew up, and all the sand went into your food. But really speaking, the food and everything was quite good.
Did you think there was going to be an enemy attack on that part of the line?
Whether it was bluff or not, we don't know. I think the enemy thought we was going that way.
Did you dig in at Alam Halfa?
It's a queer thing to say. The ground was flat 1 minute, and the REs and that came along with these, whatever you call them, and before you could say Jack Robinson, there was like a big mountain of sand separating everything.
With bulldozers?
Yeah, bulldozers. And that was for extra cover anyway from there.
So you didn't have to do much digging?
No.
Was it sandy, rocky, or stony?
Sandy.
Did you like being in the desert or not?
It wasn't bad. Warm in the day, cold at night.
What food did you get?
Pardon?
What food did you get
there? Oh, well, just the usual. What do you expect?
Bully beef?
You get stew and all that. It's surprising what they can serve up. Make it, more partial than what it really is. There was parts along here where where they tried to dig in that the African Pioneer Corps used to come along with drills and drill into the rock so that they had cover.
You say you were only there 2 days?
2 days.
Then what happened?
We went back to camp, more training.
Where was the camp?
At where you said just now. I can't think of the...
Alam Halfa?
Yeah. And then when they had the big conference and all that and sorted out different things, they were preparing for Alamein.
Were you in the preparations for Alamein?
For preparation for it, yes.
How did you prepare for it?
Big conferences and everything else, and everyone told them what they were going to do and what not to do.
Did Montgomery come around?
Montgomery was there.
Did you see him?
Yes.
What do you remember about his visit?
His, his favourite saying was, before he started, "Gentlemen, if you want to cough, cough now." And that was it.
So everybody did?
Yes.
Then what did he say?
Well, he just gave us, you know, the lowdown and everything.
Can you remember specifically what he said?
No, I can't, no.
What did he look like?
Very well. He's, the usual berry and 2 badges, which he always wore.
What did you feel personally about what he said?
Well, just hope for the best.
Did he inspire you with confidence?
Yes.
Did he bring any presents?
Presents?
Cigarettes or anything like
no,
that?
No, no. There used to be cigarette issues, but I didn't smoke, so I used to give them to the others. But,
Did you and your comrades like Montgomery or not?
I think everyone liked him.
What was likeable about him?
Everything. He was a gentleman.
So, when did you go back into the line?
There was some of them left behind, and as reserve anyway. And the battalion went into Alamein, and we followed up afterwards. I went as far as Tripoli with them.
When did you first get into the fighting, though, personally?
really speaking, we never caught up with the battalion, with the brigade, because each place we went through, we had to search the place again, and then carry on forward. But when we got to Tripoli, as far as Tripoli, I was sent back for these POW camps at, as I said, Latrun.
So you weren't actually in the fighting at Alamein?
No.
Did you see the enemy prisoners as you were pursuing them to Tripoli?
Yes.
What did they look like?
Well, they're all carrying their cases and everything else with them, whether they prepared for getting prepared before the troops got there, I should have thought. Carrying their cases with them and all their personal belongings.
Were these Italians or Germans
Italian,
or both?
Italians. Mostly Italians. And you get one or two Germans.
Did you speak to them?
The Germans didn't want to have anything to do with you. They were... But the Italians, those who could speak English or understand, they were all right.
What would they say to you, the Italians?
I think they were glad that it was over.
Did you give them anything?
No.
Any food or?
Oh, well, I give them water and all that, but they were pouring in by, well, thousands, really, that they couldn't be accommodated. That's why they opened up these other places.
So you were sent back to a POW camp at Latrun?
Yes, Latrun. Latrun, yeah.
Whereabouts is it in Palestine?
Well, it's between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. But off the beaten track. All I know is that it was Latrun. Because... it was called Latrun because right next to the POW camp there was a monastery, Latrun Monastery. And the monks there, and according to all accounts, there were two